What's up, Jason? How you doing? What's going on?
I'm good, my brother. I am very, very good right now. How are you?
You know what? It's a hot. It's hotter than July. I've been listening to a lot of Stevie. It's one of those times where, you know, he did Songs of the Keys of Light when he was 25.
Wow.
And it's fascinating because I think Prince was 25 when he did Purple Rain. I think Michael was about 25 when he did Thriller. That it's just been one of those things, like, but Songs Keys of Life, it's like, I don't know how many songs, it's so many, it's a double album. The technicality of that album, it's unbelievable.
And imagine, even by the time Stevie Wonder was 25, he'd been doing, I mean, he'd had a pretty respectable and long career already. I mean,
music between 72 and 76, which I think is the best Stevie, you know, what every song. Every album is tight. After that, there's some great songs, but they're not full albums. You know, like if you go into Stevie's logbook and you look at 72 to 76, the albums are impeccable. Then some of his most iconic songs are not his best songs, right? Like if you think about Happy Birthday or I Just Called to Say I Love You, it's just like that comes in later on. That's later on, but you know, all that beautiful music, Steve, when you think about Stevie, the funk, that's all between 72 and 76. I was just thinking about that.
Exactly. And then, of course, he drops Hotter Than July 1980. And that to me is probably the Stevie Wonder album that I remember hearing most growing up.
Yes. I mean, it's an incredible album. I have a relationship because it's the first time I go to a concert without my mom. I go with my sister.
Oh, word. You went to see Stevie in 1980? I forget, like, how old you are, bro. You've been around, man.
I guess it's got to be 1981 because if the album comes out in September 80, I guess he does his world tour, I assume, the next year, right? We get 3 tickets. And I want to go, my sister wants to go, and my sister wants to bring one of her friends. And my sister's like a teenager, you know? And my other sister's like maybe, I don't know, 14 or something like that. So for them to go with a friend is fun. But to bring the 9-year-old brother is not fun.
This says a lot about your mom, who's like, you're bringing your 9-year-old brother. Like, no doubt about it. Yeah.
So I was in heaven going with my sister to see Stevie.
Where was it? Where was the concert held?
It's Scandinavium, of course. So I was dope, you know, and I remember that it was, I didn't understand, I think, that he was blind until, you know, like, you know, he's like an American artist, you know, there was no MTV or anything like that. But then when he walks out on stage and somebody, you know, they walk him out, you realize, oh my God. And then I couldn't conceptualize that he could play and lead a band this way and being blind. I just remember that, and it was just one of these unbelievable things.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
But Marcus, tell me, so what's going on in Harlem? What's been, you know, what's life been like in Harlem during the summer?
Well, it is like one of our favorite musicians. It is hotter than July in Harlem right now.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's Do the Right Thing weather, right?
Yes.
It's like riot weather. It's riot weather.
Yes.
Like Radio Raheem is out there. Everybody's out on their stoops. The living room is the street corner and the pavement.
And because of COVID, it's also dirtier than ever in New York. Like it's
really?
Yeah. It is.
But people are out though. And are stores open? Is the Rooster open?
So a couple of things. My block, they shut it down, which is nice. So Winkler's is running every day. This block is only for kids and families. That has been really, really nice. So Zion can go on the block, run around.
No cars.
It's the kids' block. Like there's kids from all over the neighborhoods coming through and running to that sprinkler. And it's fascinating to me that such an old school thing as sprinklers is still valid. Something that goes back to the 40s. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Turning on a fire hydrant.
Yes.
Just some fresh water.
Exactly. And kids are still responding to it, which is beautiful.
Yeah,
so that's been great.
Yeah.
You know, July also means that it's, for me, it's Zion's birthday, July 19th. So normally, like all other birthdays, we've actually, normally I used to cook in the park and all the neighborhood kids used to come by. It used to be 200-300 people coming to Zion's birthday.
And how was it this year?
This year was very small, you know what I mean? We couldn't do it the same, but...
Did you go out in the park?
We took a cake and kind of did... cut it up on the block instead. A couple of kids were there, but we couldn't do the same thing. But I was like, you know what? It's okay. You know, he's going through different moments and this is have to be this summer. And I, in many ways, maybe it's going to be the more memorable for him, you know?
And your boy turned 4, man. He's getting big.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, but are you sensing that people are people scared? Is the COVID still something that's like scaring people? Or what are, you know, what's the word on the street?
The word is, in New York, people wear the mask. You go out to do your errand. People are now, this is the new normal. We have now turned a page. People are going to the stores, doing things, but they're doing it with masks. Like, you know, I always wear a mask now in my pocket because sometimes I forget when I go, right? And it means that you can't enter a store. That means you can't enter anywhere. So having a mask is part of being a New Yorker at this point. So that's, but it's not all over the country, but it's definitely here now. And it's helped a lot. And I think people have just been accustomed to it. Like at the restaurant, no, we're not open. Like we decided the opposite. Like we're serving the community. We actually did a big special on ABC. We had a 1-hour special that ran this 7 o'clock. We took our food festival Harlem Meet Up and turned it into a 1-hour TV special. And we had, like Common, Michael B. Jordan, some amazing entertainers showed up for it, which was amazing.
And you did it in a studio or in the park or where did you?
Everybody had to film it on their iPhone. You know what I mean?
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And drop it. And then we had to produce a show around it. Mm-hmm. We had a host. So it's been a lot of people coming together and doing the best out of the situation. You know what I mean? COVID is not, now you still have up to 65 to 70,000 people in the States every day, new cases. It's gone down to Florida, Arizona.
Sunbelt is getting hit. Yeah. But tell me, Marcus, I'm also reading about the uptick in violent crime and especially in New York City, also Chicago, some other major cities. Tell me about that.
Yeah, It's real.
Yeah.
It's happening and it's very, very sad because I'm very worried about after July. July 31st is when the government program is running out. The government's been giving $600 extra a week and it's been extremely helpful for a lot of people who haven't worked, been able to work.
And being able to pay their rent, I guess, and buy food.
Buy food, all of that. As of August 1, that program, EVE, is going to wind down or go into something else. Very, very nervous about this. So I think that's when the uptick will be even more.
Because I heard something about, 60 shootings over the 4th of July weekend. Like Brooklyn has been really hot. What are you hearing anything? Are people talking about why? Did the NYPD take a step back because they've been so criticized? Or what's going on?
I can speak on it on a personal level. A very, one of my young cooks, she just got shot in her home 4 times.
Damn.
And this is one of those young,
seriously,
young students that I always worried about because family was involved in different gangs. But she was a good kid and tried to get out of it.
Where was she living?
So she lived mostly in Los Angeles on the West Coast. She's from Queensbridge, actually. Mm-hmm. Nice old neighborhood. And we had her under our wing for a long time. She was an excellent chef, excellent young student. And she cooked with me at Rooster. She actually opened London up. She came to Stockholm to cook. She's such an...
What happened?
Well, her mom passed away. Big family. Two of her brother died already in gang-affiliated things. And she came back to go to her mother's funeral. So she was back in New York for a couple of days. And somebody came into her sister's house and shot her. She's going to survive, but she can't walk. And we were really worried about her for a couple of days, but she got shot.
I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah. So
I'm happy she survived it, but
yeah, but it's real. This is not, it's just hard. It's just, so I don't look at the stats too much. I look at this comes home. There's like people that trained with me, incredible young people. And
I'm thinking that like, Portland is now in their 55th day of straight protests, and seeing what the government has thrown at the protesters in Portland with, you know, unidentified law, so-called law enforcement, but kind of military style law enforcement and unmarked cars. And like, I got to give it to the people of Portland, the resilience and the uprising going on there is pretty formidable. What, as far as protests and the kind of agitation and discontent with the mayor, the police, with the situation, with the structural and systemic stuff, everything that came up to the surface post George Floyd, how is that landing today on your block, in your neighborhood, in your city?
Well, I would tell you that COVID unveils everything, right? COVID and post George Floyd. And I think people, depending who you represent, takes advantage of those situations differently. To look at from the podium and the government, they're positioning themselves in the cities because this is an opportunity for them to claim something. Then you have, you know, if you gangs and stuff like that are taking that opportunity that it is a dialogue about the police and defunding the police. So there is more, you know, in the beginning of the summer, there was all of these fireworks that was going on. Now, you know, so everyone looks at this is my opportunity. This is our opportunity to advance, you know. But what I have to say, the culture aspect has been really positive. You know, Harlem just got its own Black Lives Matter Square now, you know, where Diane Smith and Leron Wilson, two artists in Harlem, created this incredible Black Lives Matter street painting between 125th and 126th. So people are responding to this very differently. So you have the government that responding from the podium where he's just spewing lies and using this as an opportunity to rally his base. On the crime side, you have people, okay, there's not too many cops around. Let me create my stuff over here. And then you have actually regular people in the middle. It's just like wearing masks, trying to figure out a small business, trying to figure out how to survive. So you have this, it's very, very chaotic. And then also it's hot. It's crazy hot, right? So
that's going to lead to tensions rising. Yeah,
it is. And we're in the middle of the summer. We're not in the end. So I don't know. You know what I mean?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Summer has always been my favorite time of the year. It is the time where, you know, it's really a bit different when you come from a cold country like you and me. Summer represents something else that is very hard to explain unless you grew up around that. What does summer mean for you, Jason?
Summer for me has always, throughout my adult life, the past two decades has meant work. This is my, you know, this is my high season, because in Sweden and in the Nordic countries, a lot of touring is centered around the festivals, and most of the festivals are held between May and September. So this is actually, for me, I had a summer tour planned, as I always do. And this is my first like free summer, or summer not performing and not going to festivals and not traveling by bus around Scandinavia with my band and playing each night. So
give me some insight. Give me some time out. Like, how many dates? Who plans it?
We have the booking agency plans it. And it's basically like the festivals. There's a lot of festivals in Scandinavia. We play mainly in Sweden and Norway. Sometimes, once in a blue moon, we get invited to go to Denmark. That's always exciting, to go to the Roskilde Festival, which is the biggest festival in the Nordic region. But the booking agents set up the schedule, and it's whatever, you know, festivals, some big, some small. Sometimes we're at a jazz festival in Norway, and then we go to a singer-songwriter festival in Småland in Sweden, and then we're at a folk music festival somewhere. So I'm very grateful to be playing with Dam, the band that I play with a versatile group of musicians, and being invited into a lot of different rooms. And I'll tell you a story, because today is July 22nd. So July 22nd is a day that I'll always remember. It's kind of like the equivalent of Norway's equivalent of your 9/11. Okay. So 9 years ago, I woke up in a hotel room right in the center of Oslo, and we were going to take a plane, like, you know, and then Sweden and Norway are very long countries. So we were taking a plane from Oslo to go past the polar circle, way up to a village called, or a town called Tromsø, and then so that's like a 2-hour flight, and then like a 3-hour bus ride along the fjords to go to a folk music, world music festival called Ridu Festival. So we wake up early in the morning, get on our bus, go to the airport, get on the plane, bam, land in Tromsø, and then we get on the other bus and we start going the 3-hour bus ride that's going to take us to this World Music Festival. And I get a text message on my phone from my, at the time, booking agent in Sweden saying, I heard there was a bomb in Oslo. Are you guys all right? And
wow.
I just tapped the guy sitting in front of me, Svante. I'm like, Svante, yo, our booking agent sent this. What is he joking? What does he mean bomb in Norway? And are we all right? Of course we're all right, you know? And then the conversation kind of goes on. And then somebody else says something like, yo, I'm looking at the news here. It said, several bombs went off in Oslo. And we're like, oh shit. Okay. This is real. The bus ride ends. We're dropped off at the festival and we get off. And all of a sudden I'm noticing that people all around me, because we're, you know, it's a world music festival way out in the middle of nowhere in northern Norway. We're talking like Arctic Norway. Bright summer day. It's hot, you know, mosquitoes everywhere. So there's about, you know, it's not a huge festival. There's maybe 4,000 people or something. But all of a sudden I see people with their phones. Like people are reading in their phones. So I'm like, I asked somebody, like, what's going on? And they're like, no, there's something's happening on an island in the south of Norway. There's some kind of terrorist attack going on. I'm like, oh, shit. And then it's kind of a blur what happens in the next hour. But about an hour from then, we realized that 77 people have been killed, among them young people. So what this terrorist, a white Nazi, he blew up a couple of bombs in the center of Norway. One of the bombs was right around the corner from where our hotel was. In fact, the windows of the hotel we were staying at were blown out. We were lucky not to be there. And then this man traveled heavily armed, disguised as a policeman, to a small island called Utøya, where there's an annual summer camp for the Socialist Workers' Party of Norway, where their youth organization has a summer camp. And he went out there and just started executing people, and executed 69 people on that island, and then an additional 7 people or 8 people in Oslo. And this is all unfolding. And we're up here in the way up north, and it's just really surreal. And all of a sudden, the boss of the whole festival comes up to us, and she's like, "I don't know if we can play. You know, my son is at Utøya. He's at this camp. I have to go and find out. I have to jump on the nearest like bus to take me to the hours to the airport to go south. I need to see that he's okay. You know, it's chaos. And the country just went into like crisis mode, you know. She left someone else in charge. We were discussing back and forth, like, should we perform or should we not perform? We ended up actually performing. It was really strange. People were crying in the audience. Like, Norway is not a huge country. It's what, 4.5 million inhabitants. But it's a country that since the Second World War hasn't been touched by crisis of this magnitude or a terrorist attack. So people just really were caught totally off guard. The saddest part of it was that right after the bombs went off in Norway and the international press got a hold of it, people started speculating, of course, because this is 2011, that it was somehow the terrorists were Muslims or Islamic. So on buses and subways in Oslo, you already had citizens attacking people with veils and attacking Muslims. Then a couple of hours later, as all this unfolding, it turns out it's a lily white Nazi Norwegian man, you know, young man in early 30s, not unlike the type of man that went into the Emmanuel to Mother Emmanuel in Charleston and executed all those people in 2015. same kind of radicalized, deeply racist and very narrow views on the world and very kind of inhumane views on the world. So to me, this day brings back that memory of the 22nd of July. I even remember that we had, you know, because it's a world music festival in the north of Norway. And in the north of Sweden, Norway, and Finland, you have a lot of the indigenous people living, the Sami people. So not unlike indigenous populations in Canada, Alaska, Greenland, and so forth. People who live off reindeer herding and fishing and so forth, and live more or less the same life that they lived for thousands of years. So you always have a lot of Sami bands at this festival. And there was this guy from a singer from one of the big Sami bands. His name is Laura. He asked if he could come on and do a track with us. Like, if he could come on and feature on one of our tracks. And we were like, yeah, sure, absolutely. And he came out and he gave a little speech before the song started. And that's really when, you know, there were, I could see that, you know, this wasn't just a concert. It was like people were still trying to grasp with this. People were just literally crying in the audience. Then he goes on and does this like yoik, which is the traditional kind of guttural singing that the Sami do, which is very kind of like melancholy, lamentatious. And I'm looking at the musicians and everybody's like, this is just so fucking weird. What's happening? You know, it was beautiful. It's a very special memory from 9 years ago, 22nd of July.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And it shows that the shows must go on, that type of expression. Mm. But it also shows that even during touring life, there's real life. Like the touring life is one thing, but real life, you know, it's hard to stop. Summertime for me, I just have some of my best memories for summer. It's we go to Smögen from when school's out early June, and we don't come back as kids until like 2-3 days before school starts in the city again. And it was a very simple life.
You have to explain for our American listeners and listeners from around the world what summer means in Sweden. Because like in Sweden, after midsummer, that is about 20th of June till about the 15th of August, nothing happens. Like literally the whole country stops.
The whole country stops.
It's vacation, what we call semester.
And you know, for me, it was always just coming to this little fishing village where my father is from. And as kids, I had my summer friends that were not connected to the city. And we did like, you know, it was always around fishing culture in the morning. And then around 12, you were done. And then you could do whatever you wanted, which was like biking, playing soccer, or whatever. But it was always around the water. And the water, you know, it has its own flow. You know, it was rough sea. It was exciting as a kid. And you know, it's always a kid that fell in, and you know, all of that.
You can get those jellyfish, like the toxic jellyfish, like they might be around.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't remember summertime from indoor in any way. You know, that's probably stuff this.
No, but I mean, so again, for our international listeners, this is a part of the world that from about October to March is just like veiled in darkness, where the sun sets. You know, it's usually overcast. So whenever you get to see the sun, but the sun sets around 3, maybe 4, 4:30, and then it rises around 8. So there's very little sun. Like the vitamin D that is available to people living way up north. It's available in June, July, and maybe August. So that's why nobody's working, because nobody's going to miss it, you know? Nobody's going to miss the chance to be out. Plus, we have the flip side of up here during the summers. The sun doesn't go down until 10, 11. And the further north you are, like as far north as I was on July 22nd, 9 years ago, the sun doesn't even set. It just goes in a circle. And this is a very beautiful phenomenon. And it's called the midnight sun. I've always loved that word or that phrase, the midnight sun. I wouldn't be able to live that far north because it drives me crazy that there's no darkness. And people don't go to bed. I mean, like young people, old people, everybody's up. Like, you know, most of the day and night.
No, I mean, I just feel like summer for me, it's very hard to describe for people who don't live in the Nordics, but it's beyond just, when people say like, what's your favorite time of the year? And someone don't say summer, I'm like, what's wrong with you? Don't you understand? Summer is everything. You can't.
But how does it feel for you now in the United States? Because in the United States, people work all through summer. It's just like, it's not the same semester vibe that Sweden has.
And also different climates, you know, like you.
Yeah, yeah. It's even hotter. Yeah.
Well, you live in a state like Florida, Arizona, you have 85 degrees
summer all year round, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, and maybe then it goes up to 110. So for a lot of people, summer is not their favorite time because
they're staying inside time. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's helped me expand that time. But, you know.
Are you missing Sweden?
I do. I miss nature. Yeah. I miss nature.
Yeah.
Having, you know, Zion has gone back to Sweden every summer so far. This is the first summer that he's not going back. And yeah, I miss it. I miss it a lot. A lot of the values that I have, I take from that tiny village. And yeah. Access to nature and just different value proposition, you know, like going down to the boathouse, eating my uncle's, just like slow it down a little bit, you know what I mean? Eating really sharp food, like it's saltier, you know, it's like that herring or that shrimp, whatever, it's just salt.
I'm betting like the first time you had like a beer or some like alcoholic drink was probably in the summer too, right?
Absolutely, it was.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And maybe the first time you kissed a girl was in summertime. You know, it might have been.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, all of that and going to those festivals that you're talking about was part of summer, right? But you performed at, but like just going there, it's like gathering your money and like, all right, we can afford to go to the festival. Or we jumping in, you know, like we always try to figure out how to get in for free. All of that stuff was summertime. I love summer.
And this is just a new kind of summer, bro. The summer 2020, summer of the new normal, summer of the uprising, summer of the masks. You know, there we are. All right, brother. And all my dear listeners, this moment, I'm hoping all of you out there are having a good as summer as you possibly can with your loved ones. You know, staying safe, staying filled with joy and energy and trying to find or hopefully finding optimism for the future, even though these strange, momentous shifts that the world is going through and all this pain and conflict that's happening, you know, let the sun carry you, heal you, and yeah, until next week.
Peace. Wear a mask. Peace.
This moment is produced by Mohammed El Abed. It's an Acast recording and can be heard on all platforms. So stay tuned. More depth coming your way soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.